connected. We thank you for this school. We thank you for every instructor in this school. God, we just thank you for government. We give you all the praise and the honor, Holy Spirit. If you don't move on this word, it's nothing. It's only ink on the page. We're just rambling as a tinkling cymbal. So we thank you so much for it. We give you all the praise and glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. I am your substitute teacher tonight for Apostle. So that's what we're doing. Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. If anybody knows anything about my classes, I'm always referring back to government and what government is about. If you don't learn anything else in this school, you should learn government. There will be no power coming from heaven to earth without stable and solidified government. If you are not involved or you are not connected with God's plan, you will not have any power in your ministry. You will have no power in whatever you decide to minister. There will be no power there if you are not connected properly and under the funnel. We'll read in Ephesians 4, and it talks about every joint supplies. It talks about the gifts, and I know we read these scriptures, but the Bible says faith comes by what? So here, for faith for government, you're going to have to hear it over and over again. I know every time you hear me, you're going to hear me talking about it. I don't care if I'm in this class or that class, I'm going to refer to government, because government is one of the main things that we're missing as ministers. The church as a whole, we're going to see it tonight. We're going to talk about four types of believers in the church, but you're going to see it as a whole, that there's a lot of schism and a lot of disconnect and a lot of crazy things going on, and not enough progress going on because there's not enough government going on, and people don't know about connection. I thank God for Apostle Thompson. Amen. I can't hear y'all. Say, I thank God. Amen. For Apostle Thompson. I thank God for what he's doing in him, or what he's done in him over the years, but what he's doing in him through this ministry school, but also in ministry as a whole, and giving us something to look towards. A lot of times they say, we'll read in a minute, but where there's no vision, the people perish. And if there's nothing that you can see to know to shoot towards, a goal that you know, this is what I want, this is what I want my anointing to be, or this is what I want, this type of leader that I want to be, there's no vision, we'll be perishing. So I appreciate that. And this is the goal. The whole goal of this whole school and everything, that's the goal, to understand submission and authority and connection and government. I mean, the goal is to win, right? And the goal is to have successful, effective ministry. Now, anybody can start a church. You can go start a church in a bathroom. I mean, anybody can go start a ministry, go ramble off some words on somebody's corner. But we're talking about successful, effective ministry. It's a difference. And that's the goal. I mean, and by show of hands, everybody want to have a successful ministry. Amen. This is the goal. So now, in order to do that, we've got to follow the instructions. We've got to line up, and we got to do things the right way. I'll never forget, the scripture says, consider your ways. Your ways personally have to be considered. Whatever you want, whatever you put in, that's what you're going to get out. So if you want successful ministry on the output, you got to put in some successful connection and submission on the front side. All right? So Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll do a little reading. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. You hear that? With all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given a grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave what? Yes. Unto who? So that means you all have a gift. I don't know what your gift is. That's between you and the Lord. But there's a gift on the inside of you. Amen. He gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is that? But he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Verse 11, you read. Ready, read. Verse 12, read. Verse 13. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie and wait to deceive. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied, according to the effectual, not just working, but the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So we see he gave everybody gifts. So we all got gifts. Then he said he gave us apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body, until we all come and we measure up to the stature of what Christ wants for us as a church. Then it says that we be henceforth no more children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. It sounds like a bunch of preachers to me. That sounds like a lot of preachers that are out there trying to preach right now. Tossed to and fro, and they're tossing the people to and fro with every kind of doctrine and no connection. Speaking the truth in love may grow up. In verse 15, speaking the truth in love may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which what? According to the effectual work in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body to the edifying of itself in love. We should be edifying. There should be increase of the body as a whole. All right. Each and every one of us have a part. Each and every one of us has a piece of the puzzle that we're made to fit. Every single one of us. Everybody got a joint. But we've got to be effective, and we've got to be lined up under the apostolic, prophetic, pastoral, evangelism. You see, the teacher, we got to be lined up in government in order for our parts to be effective. Yes, if we are not lined up in the mainframe of what God has set up, then there won't be effective ministry on our part, and we'll turn out being a hindrance. Yes. Now, I don't think you signed up for school to be a hindrance. This is not a hindrance school, is it? No. I don't think you signed up for that. I don't even think you signed up in life to be a hindrance. You signed up to be effective. Everybody wants to be effective. Your effectiveness is lined up in government. So not every joint supplies. So we're going to talk about in chapter 21. I think he told y'all to read chapter 21, 22 last week. If you have your books, you can go to chapter 21 and come along with me a little bit. We'll talk about a few things. Chapter 21. And some of these things that I'll say, you'll be able to underline them in your book. Some of them you have to write down. Just roll with me, because we're going to get some work done. Apostle ain't going to come back and ask me what I did. I ain't preaching nothing but what he wanted to be preaching. Amen. So chapter 21, it talks about four kinds of believers in the church today. All right. It says in every church, there are four kinds of believers. One, the pioneers. Two, the enablers. Three, the resistors A. And four, resistors B. But the first two are the positive, the second two are the people you're trying to get rid of. Listen, for all these resistors, unless you're going to convert, you can go. That's how I feel about resistors. Now, there's a line that's going to talk about resistors, and I think everybody loves God, but loving God is one thing, but wanting to change is another. All right, and God is pushing us to change. So pioneers, enablers, resistors A and resistors B. Yeah, I wrote this note because there's two sides to look at this. We're in ministry school, so I don't know, you know, which of you are called to be pastors or whatever facet, but there's two sides to look at it. One side from a leadership side and one side from a submission side. All right? You can even find out who you are in somebody else's church. You know, Lord, please don't let you be a resistor. You find out who you are. So there's two sides to look at it. And I wrote this note in my notes and I said, the type of believer that you are will be the type of believer that you raise. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever man soweth, that shall he also reap. So the type of believer that you are, all right, in somebody else's ministry or under somebody else's submission is the type of people that you're going to raise. Now, if you're a resistor, you're going to raise a crop of resistors. You can't sow resisting seeds and get a submissive harvest. For the life of me, I wonder, there's a lot of ministers that expect people to do things for them that they won't do for another. They want people to sow into their ministry, but they ain't sowing nowhere. They want people to submit to them, but they ain't got no father. They want people to come to their meetings, but they don't go to nobody's meeting. And I'm not just talking about anybody, just running to any old meeting, but finding somebody that I can submit to and being there when they call a meeting. You cannot raise something that you're not willing to give. Don't expect no crop from nothing that you ain't planted. All right? But on the flip side of that, the type of believer that you are, all right, listen to me for a second. The type of believer that you are will be the type of believer that you'll raise. So if you're leading any type of people, you know, I tell people, you got a church, you got a bunch of people in there that don't want to listen. Well, somewhere along the line, you wasn't listening. apostle is raising some strong individuals in his ministry. Not only in Word of Life, but in ever-increasing Word with the partners. And in this school, he's raising, raising strong individuals. But it's because of who he is and what he decided to do. Listen, it is not by accident that the ministry is the way it is. This was planned way before God ordained it, and Apostle Thompson was obedient. He submitted to his leadership. He was there when his father called for him and said, hey, you're coming to the meeting? He was there. He was present. He was obedient. And so now you wonder why so many people want to submit and so many people are obedient and so many people are showing up. But it's because of what he did then. The type that you are will be the type that you raise. So consider this when you're doing things and when you're handling your connection and when you're handling submission. Just consider your ways and understand that whatever you're putting out right now is coming back to you later on. Don't come to me and complain that you got a bunch of hard-headed people in your church if your head is rock. The type of person that you are will be the type that you raise. And so, I said that the type that you follow, watch this, and this is a great part right here, if you're connected. The type that you follow will be the type that you'll be. I don't understand. Now, let me say something. I don't know where you're from, who your pastor is, all that other stuff. I don't know none of that stuff. I don't know everybody in the room. But it don't make no sense to come to this ministry and be able to be around anointed like Apostle Thompson and not connect. Yeah. I'm just letting you know now. I'm going to say this for the rest of the year. It makes no sense to be able to, you know you ain't seen nothing like this. Just tell the truth. Come on. Tell the truth. You know you ain't seen nothing like this. You know it's a governing church. You know it's a territorial anointing he got on his life. You know you never seen nothing. So when you get close, I don't believe in coincidence. I told my class, I don't believe in coincidence. Stop believing in it years ago. Coincidence don't exist. There is a reason for everything. You're here for a reason. So if you get a chance to connect and hold on. Connect and hold on. Everybody say it. Connect and hold on. Say it again. Connect and hold on.
Connect and hold on.
So the type that you follow will be the type that you'll be. As a note, when the church is built according to apostolic blueprints, the pioneers and enablers, all the positive ones, the pioneers and enablers emerge in the ranks and file of the church. Next note, and some of this stuff you may see in your book so you can highlight it. The resistors fade out of the scene. Thank you, Lord. I don't even know why resistors come. Like, what you here for? Sometimes I ask people, when people come to church, and I might be preaching, and you talking to your friend, or you're on your phone, or you're looking at me mad because, like, you don't want to hear what I'm saying. Why you just ain't stay home? You knew I was going to preach the word. You knew that something else I was going to say was going to cut you. You knew it was going to happen. So don't get mad at the cutting. Just receive. Understand that we're here to get better. I want to send them home. I wish there was like some glasses that you can make that start beeping. You know the movie like RoboCop when they walk in, they be like, resistor. I wish they had some glasses like that, and I could point them out to the usher and be like, now take them back to the car. But that ain't love, though. That ain't love. We got to work with them. Next point, we do not feed the negatives in the congregation. They may change or ultimately leave the church. So you got to be prepared for this. Those who will change will become full supporters of the leadership of the church. That's love right there. Amen. The next note says the four kinds of believers grow up under different types of environment and atmosphere. This next part is very important. It says providing the right kind of leadership structure will help us breed breakthrough believers who are pioneers and enablers. Government. It sounds like government to me. The type of structure, providing the right kind of leadership structure will help us breed pioneers and breed enablers. Now, these are the type of people that we're trying to breed in ministry. Even if you're pastoring or even if you're ministering in another capacity, you're trying to do something to help breed pioneers and breed enablers. Because these are the people that's going to run with the vision. These are the ones that's going to connect to the corporate vision. We're going to read that in a couple of minutes, but it keeps referring to the corporate vision. Connect to the corporate vision, and everything that they do, every vision that they have, is a part of the corporate vision. Yes, and they help to push whatever God has called. You know, God never does it with just one man. You understand that, right? God calls a people to do a thing. But he'll call a leader, and everybody else's job is to line up and submit and take on the vision. I don't worry about your vision. My vision. It sounds like self to me. Yes. Self got the down. My vision. No. Be faithful in another man.
Yes, sir.
Because God ain't going to, in scripture, God ain't going to give you your own. If you've not been faithful in another man's vision. Providing the right kind of leadership structure will help us breed breakthrough believers who are pioneers and enablers. So let's go over the pioneers. And I like the phrase said, those who make things happen. Y'all see that?
Yes, sir.
The characteristics of pioneers. Habakkuk 2:5. I just want to read this, and some of y'all might be quoting it in your head right now. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 5. Hold on, I think I had the wrong scripture. Hold on for a second. Nope, verse 2. Yeah, 2:2. You read it. Ready, read.
The Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tape.
Stop. Now read this last line.
That he may run.
Now, one of the most imperative things about what kind of believer you're breeding is what's the vision? Where there is no vision, the people what? They perish. That means there's no progress. There's no prosperity. There's no increase. There's no development. The people are perishing if there is no vision. We're reading a couple minutes in our notes, but there must be clear vision in order to breed pioneers, in order to breed enablers. Remember, whatever you're setting up, that's what you're going to raise. Whatever kind of setup you got, that's what you're going to breed. So characteristics of pioneers. Number one, they're always eager for action. Number two, they are innovative and creative. If you see these in the book, you just underline them because I'm about to spit them out to you. There's about 11 of them. Number three, they find new ways of doing things, doing old things, and find more effective styles too. Number four, they are often possessed with a spirit of adventure to launch into new frontiers and dimensions that have not been explored before. Y'all seeing all this in your book? Number five, they desire to break limitations within themselves and scale new heights in the kingdom of God. Number six, sometimes they endeavor to bring in new styles and methods to the old things. Everybody say fresh.
Fresh.
I'm going to say it again, fresh.
Fresh.
Number seven, their adventurous nature often puts pressure on the church to move forward. Pioneers. Number eight, they keep expanding the borders of the church's ministry in order to embrace every opportunity God has given to us. Number nine, they create a spiritual momentum until others are absorbed into the flow of the God-given vision to the church. Number 10, they are sensitive to the Spirit's leading, and they have deep convictions about what God is calling them to do. And then number 11, they create new opportunities and space for others to become involved in ministry. So now, when we look at the characteristics of a pioneer, it's somebody that's always in the ministry pressing for something, progress. Pressing for to be able to expand somewhere that we haven't gone before. pressing to do something, they're eager to work. They're eager for a vision. They're eager for something, ready to run, like the person that write the vision and make it plain. So he that read it can run, he's that one that's trying to run. That's the pioneer. All right? Now we're going to get to enablers, but just realize that everybody is not a pioneer. That's why the scripture, I read that at first, every joint supplies. You know, the pioneer sounds exciting, don't it? So you won't sign up, we'll be on the pioneer list. Well, that might not be you, though. Sign me up as a pioneer. I don't know. How has God made you to be? God designed you with a, he gave gifts unto me. He said, walk worthy of the vocation where you are called. Be who you supposed to be, all right? And one of the things in ministry, man, everybody wants to be the pastor. And this is why they want to be the pastor. Everybody want to be pastor because, you know, they feel like they can start telling people what to do. Come here, come here. You come here. Pick that up. Go over there and get my car. Go over there. Do this. Come here. Stop. Sit down. Stand up. Everybody, raise your hand. Do that. And they feel the power struggle. Like they feel you want to be like pastor. I want to be able to tell somebody what to do. Pastorship is not about power. It's not about control. It's more about loving people than anything. There's a level of authority that comes with it. There's a level of submission that people have to have. But you got to get past that. That shouldn't be the reason that people say they aspire to be a pastor. I don't understand that statement. What you want to be when you grow up? I want to be a pastor. I don't understand that statement. Career day, you signed up to be a pastor. I don't understand that statement. Last I heard, you were called to be a thing. Last I heard, God made a decision where you were going to be. So I don't know if you got any pastoral aspirations in the room. But you better make sure you're called by God. I know some of the most busted up pastors because they went out there and made themselves. They called themselves. They got on the phone and called themselves to ministry. Y'all see them churches on every corner. Come on. Every other place, and they all this and this and that and that and that and that. They don't never do nothing. Don't never grow. Ain't no anointing moving. The people are just there because they probably cousins or something like that. Y'all know how it goes. God ain't called all them people to be no pastors. Some of the people will be some of the most powerful evangelists in the world, but they got a power struggle mentality. Now, when you leave out of this school, just make sure you understand, I'm going to submit to God and do whatever he's called me to do and submit to somebody he's put me under. Yes, do not listen. I will find you on the streets and try to choke you out myself if I see you leave here with some foolish mentality. I see these people come and go. And they get all this stuff in their mind about what they want to be. It ain't about what you want to be. It's about what God called you to be. And what's beautiful about that, whatever God called you to do, he graced you to do it. You know, our personalities are different. Our demeanors are different. That you say tomato, I say tomato. You say red, I say burgundy. You say pink, I say fuchsia, all right? Y'all know how it is. You see things different. Your perspective is different sometimes. The way you approach people, the way you deal with people sometimes is different. God has given you a grace to be whatever he called you to be. I listened to a guy the other day. He said, for the life of me, I see all these guys going to ministry school talking about they want to be a pastor, but they don't like people. How do you pastor somebody if you don't like people? Because, you know, pastor is people business. That is your life, people. He told me you can be a theologian or a scholar, but you're not if you don't like people. So everybody's got a grace for something. Everybody's got a grace to be where they need to be. The pioneer eager. Here's why government is important. Because a lot of let me say this, let me be clear. A lot of these self-proclaimed pastors or self-proclaimed preachers were possibly pioneers, but they may not be connected to government. Listen to me. That's why we're here. That's why we're lining this stuff back up. Because it's a possibility that you could be a pioneer. Yes, you got the zeal to go for it. You want to go to places. Do you see the characteristics? They want to do something that ain't never been done before. They want to go. They want to bring, expand the old, make something new. All right, they want to do things. They're pushing for the vision, because the vision should be moving forward anyway. They're pushing. But a lot of times they've been developed that way because government wasn't in place. So now God was going to use them as a pioneer in somebody's ministry, but because whoever the leadership wasn't connected to government, this person thought they was a pastor. Do y'all see how this stuff rotates and how this stuff happens? Thank God for apostles. Listen. I can be kind of pioneerish sometimes. I know myself. I can be kind of edgy. We had a meeting the other day, and apostle calls in the office, and y'all know I'll be laughing about this. And whenever he calls me in the office, I'm walking light because I don't know what he's about to say. I'm just ready for whatever. And he sits down and starts telling us about some changes that some things he want to start doing in the ministry concerning the young people. And I said, well, Lord Jesus, let's go. Because I'm in my mind, and I have been thinking about some things and praying about some things and working on some things, but it wasn't my job to bring that up because that's not my vision.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
If God starts preparing, just sit there. And when it's time for whatever, one thing about a visionary, he knows better than you. We tend to think that we know so many things, and we do know some stuff. But what a visionary does, the visionary stands up on his watch.
Yes, sir.
I'm trying to get on my tippy toes. The visionary stands out above on the watch,
yeah. And
they'll see what's to come,
yes, sir. And
see what's down the line, and see what God is showing them, and then bring it back and tell the people what we're going to do.
Yes, sir.
So that's why the visionary may know more. The visionary knows more than you.
Yes.
Now, if you don't have, I'm going to say it again. If you ain't submitted to nobody, then you blind by yourself.
Yeah.
He started telling me stuff we're going to change. And I could be a little edgy sometimes, dealing with these young people. If y'all know me, I can be, I can kind of push the envelope a little bit. And I'm sitting in the office. So I'm in the office, my leg jumping while he's talking to me. Literally like this. And I'm sitting there, I'm laughing. And, usually in there with apostles, you got a serious straight face. Y'all know if he called you and y'all in his office, everybody be like. But when he started telling me, I was excited because I some of the stuff I had already been thinking about in my head, and I'm jumping, I'm moving. And I just said, listen, and I don't know why I said this because I knew he was going to do it already. But I said, hey, look, apostle, I just want to let you know, all right, I want to see how far I can go with this because you're going to have to pull my coattail a little bit because, when you let me out the chute, I'm running. You let me go, I'm trying to, this is what you want to do, all right? You let me go, I'm trying to push the issue, I'm trying to do something radical. If I told y'all some of the stuff I was thinking about doing to reach people, y'all trip out. Y'all be like, apostle, I ain't trying to hear that. Push it for it. I told him, you had to pull my coattail. You had to pull me and set me down. But see, he ain't got to pull my coattail because he's so far ahead.
Yeah.
Come on, listen.
Yeah.
He's so far accelerated in the spirit
that
I can just run full speed and I'll run out of breath before I catch up.
Yeah.
This is why you have to connect to a proper vision.
Yeah.
Don't connect to nobody that's standing right next to you.
Come on, that's right.
We both looking at each other. You looking at me, I'm looking at you.
No.
We high-five each other because we on the same level. No. Whoever God connects you to should be way ahead of you.
Yes, sir.
Giving you vision
so
that you can run. God ain't never called you to walk.
Come on,
he called you to run with the vision. So in order, you got to run to catch up. Anybody ever ran track or ran behind somebody or just run behind somebody? If they got a good way in front of you and they got a little speed with them, you kind of got to go. You got to run to catch up. And he's so far ahead. That's why the government and vision is so important, because he's so far ahead that it keeps the pioneers being pioneers. It keeps the pioneer in his pioneer lane. Because he plays his part. Watch this. And he knows that whatever vision, some of the apostles told me, I started laughing because, the Lord had started dealing with me about it. Dealing with some of the young people, all right? He started dealing with me. It wasn't my job to say, oh, the Lord did. No. He got the vision.
Yeah.
So when he started telling it to me, I was like, yes, Lord, let's go. And now because he's going ahead, now we can run with the thing. And the pioneer can stay and do his job.
Yes, sir.
That's
yes, right. Sir. Yes, sir.
Now, with you, two sides. Number one, I keep going two sides. One, you need to be connected to somebody that can show you what you're supposed to be, number one. But number two, if you ever lead somebody, make sure you're going ahead enough so they can stay. See, you got people in your church that want to jump out and want to do all this stuff. You might not be ahead of them enough. The pioneer, there's a hairy line. Watch this. There's a hairy line, and listen to what I'm saying. I wrote it in my notes. There's a hairy line between the renegade and the pioneer. In personality traits, in character traits, there's a hairy line, because what happens is a lot of times they're pushing for more. They know there's more of God.
They know there's more of vision. There's more that God wants to be done. And watch this. I heard somebody say it today, and this is about pushing forward. He said, how did he say it? The message is sacred, but the method isn't. So the message of Jesus Christ and the message of going into all the world and preach the gospel and what we're supposed to do is very sacred, but the method isn't. Why would we be right now riding around in horses and chariots trying to get to church? It don't make sense. It is not profitable for this moment. Why would we be sending pigeons with letters when we got cell phones? Come on, amen. And so now the message is sacred, but the method is not. So watch this. So now the method tends to change, and you got to come up today. It got to be fresh. Everybody say fresh.
Fresh.
Come on, say it again. Say fresh.
Fresh.
So it's got to be fresh and got to be moving ahead. And so sometimes the pioneer is ready to move ahead, ready to keep going. But that visionary has to be ahead in order for them to stay a pioneer. Harry Lambert to the pioneer renegade because they're pushing. I know some situations right now. I mean, literally right now, where, you know, I know some people that's going to have to leave some ministries because God is pushing them further than where the vision wants to go. If you ever stop in vision, you begin to die. If you ever stop making progress, listen, life is like this. Look at me. Ministry, like, no, life is like the ministry, like this. Don't ever stop. Because as soon as you stop, stuff starts passing you by. Constantly going. Constantly moving. Sometimes you got to pick up speed because it takes for you to sprint a little bit. But it should never be a point where you like this. Are you sitting down looking at everybody? One of the things about apostles is this. Watch this. I like this. Lord Jesus, thank you for progress. I know something about Apostle, and I always say this, he's going to live a long time, live a long, long time. He always staying young. People don't look at it, he's just young. Just, I'll be trying to be like, man, why are you cooler than some of us, man? Why are you cooler than us, young dude? We're supposed to be the cool. Why are you cooler than us? You know, but he's moving ahead. He's always looking for change, always looking for what God is doing. He knows that the message is sacred, but the method isn't. So he knows that I'm going to keep the message what it is and keep the integrity of the message, but sometimes I got to do something cutting edge to deliver. But I see him doing things, and I see him stepping forward and making moves, and it keeps us on our toes. It keeps us looking and saying, "Man, I gotta run a little faster. I got a little work to do," and it's keeping us to be able to flow ahead and to keep making progress. As he goes, so do we. So the hairy line between the renegade and the pioneer, and you know, a lot of times, all the time, the difference is vision. So now it goes to the next part: how to raise pioneers to rise effectively in governmental churches. Y'all see that, huh? In governmental churches. No government, all renegade. It's amazing. God has called some people. But because people hadn't been in government, now they've become renegades and they stepped out somewhere they wasn't supposed to be. Because government wasn't in place. Do you understand how important government is? Not only to your well-being, but to whoever you may lead one day. Government has to be in place. This is how to raise them. Number one, develop a strong leadership style that is visionary. I put a star right by mine right there. You can put it in your book or on your notes, whatever. And I put a star and I wrote the word in big letters, submission. Number two, set the proper limits and boundaries for safety and effective service. And A under that says, unless there are proper boundaries, listen to this. Unless there are proper boundaries for function, excited pioneers could work against the corporate life and the vision in the church. Sound like a renegade to me. Where there's no vision, the people perish. set the proper limits and boundaries of safety and effective service, because unless there are proper boundaries for function, excited pioneers could work against the corporate life or the corporate vision. Now, if you're in somebody else's vision, their vision is your vision. God may give you a subvision. Did y'all hear that? He may give you a subvision. What does sub mean? What does submarine do? Go under the water, huh? Will you submit? Where you at? Find under and get under there. Submit, all right? Watch this. So God may give you a subvision that's going to help you further the vision.
Yeah.
But he's not going to just give you no, you know what, the Lord gave me a vision. Well, how does that correlate to the corporate vision? How does that correlate to the corporate vision? That's it. You want to find out if you're in error? How does that correlate to the corporate vision God has submitted me to? Because, watch this, I'll let you know if you're hearing from God or not. Who can we handle that one? When the pastor walk in the room and say, all right, tell me your vision. Okay, that ain't God. Shut your life down. It is funny right now until it happens. Y'all don't understand. I done had him. Shut it down. He looking at me, mom. You think you anointed? You think you got a vision? Oh, God is using me. God is using us. You think you're gone? He said, come here. Shut it down. Now I don't want to talk about it. Shut it down. But that, shut it down. Wrap it all up. Put it in the box. How you feel then? How you feel? You gonna start your ministry? That's how I'm gonna start my own church. How you feel? So you don't know how you feel until you know how you feel. You don't know how you feel until somebody slapped you in your mouth and then told you you ain't right now. Yeah, you don't know about your calling or your connection. Then somebody told you to shut it down. You ain't never been told to shut it down. You somewhere you ain't supposed to be. Your apostle or whoever's really leading you is going to shut you down. I'm going to call you in and say, hey, that's not God. Shut it down. How you feel about that? How do you feel about being told that your vision ain't from God? How do you feel? How does that make you feel? Check your submission level right now. How does that make you feel when you feel like the angels came down on a blanket and brought some clouds with them and slung holy oil over your room while you was in there and laid hands on you and told you that this is what God thus said the Lord of hosts to your name in the name of Jesus. This is what you're supposed to be doing, and that's what you thought God told you to do, and then your man of God walk in and say, shut it down. I'll tell you if you're hearing from God or not. Gauged by your apostle.
Yes, sir.
Gauged by your leadership. Yeah. And if you can't shut it down, you got a problem. God couldn't have talked to you about it, because if God would have talked to you about it, then he'd have told you, apostle's going to shut you down, but just chill out.
Yeah.
Just be cool, because at the appointed time, God going to do what he's going to do. Just be cool. But if you can't sit down and be cool, if you can't sit down and be cool, then you can never be used.
Yeah.
Unless there are proper boundaries for function, excited pioneers could work against the corporate life. Corporate life. Everybody say corporate life.
Corporate.
Everybody say corporate vision.
Corporate vision.
And the vision in the church. With proper delegated authority and leadership structure, pioneer believers are held in a place of accountability. This will make them be more alert and wise in application of their, watch this, the two words, zeal and adventure. So as to build the work in wisdom. Zeal is not a negative thing. Zeal is not a bad thing. But along with zeal must come some instruction.
Yes.
Along with zeal must come some wisdom. Because zeal will get you killed without instruction.
Yes.
Zeal will make you run out in the road just because you're zealous. Zeal will put you out there in the road and you don't even know how this road drives. Zeal will put you out in the water and you don't even know what's in the water. This is what zeal will do. Zeal without wisdom, zeal without leadership. Thank God that I know you want to push towards something. I know you want to go somewhere. I know you got some aspirations. Thank God. God gives you a dream. How many of y'all got a dream? God will give you a dream, but that dream without direction is nothing.
Yes, sir. That's right.
That dream without a leadership anointing will become a nightmare. I done seen it. Dreams turn into nightmares just because nobody wanted to submit. I've seen it literally in front of my eyes. I saw the person with a vision, and I saw the dream in their eyes. Met the apostle, told him, shut your life down. They couldn't do it and still wanted to go on. Even the instruction told them to chill, and it became a nightmare. And now them, their wife, their kids, everybody busted up because they couldn't submit. So now the dream, listen, you choose what you're going to end up with. You choose what you're going to get. It can be a dream world. Anybody ever had a good dream before? I love good dreams. God, give me a dream. I want the fulfillment of a dream. Thank God for letting me be a dreamer. I get that. But your dream can easily turn into a nightmare if you walk in disobedience.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Submission is imperative to the carrying out of your dream. In order for your dream to be fulfilled, there must be some submission first. Or it'll be a nightmare. To you and all your family. I be feeling for some people and their kids. Because somewhere in the long line, ego got in. And because ego couldn't listen, and ego couldn't submit and couldn't be broken down, now it turned to a nightmare for them and your whole house. So now you done went and started a work somewhere, started a church, or you started your evangelism outreach, or you went and started this and started that, because you just thought the Lord was talking to you more than anybody else in the world. You know, God speaks to other people besides you, yeah?
Yes, sir.
See, here, you got to keep, I'm going to say, you got to keep yourself, into a point. Listen, here's what you do. Humility says, I totally depend on God. Yeah. The Bible talks about humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Here's why you got to humble yourself. Here's why we kneel when we pray. Huh? Here's why we keep ourselves down. We keep ourselves under, because you got to keep in your mind understanding that I'm not the Savior of the world.
Yeah.
And we feel that way when the anointing get to popping off. And the anointing get to going and start the revelation knowledge and the prophetic words start coming forth. I know we feel like, no, but you're not. You're just a part of the whole big whole. You're a part of the whole plan. So you remind yourself that God is going to hear from somebody else too. Remind yourself that, let me find out who I'm, right now in the room, when you leave tonight, if you ain't submitted to nobody, you need to find out who you submitted to, or the rest of this school is going to be a waste of your time. Your whole ministry quest is going to be a waste of time if you're not connected to anybody.
Yes, sir.
So number one, I know, what week three? What week we in? Four? When week four? What week is that? I don't know what week. How many weeks y'all been in school already? You don't know, it's your third week right here? Right now, you get in the car after your classes tonight, you need to find out what you're connected to. Because you are wasting supernatural time if you ain't got no connection. If can't nobody speak into your life and tell you and give you wisdom for the vision, or give you wisdom for the dream, then you're wasting your time. Some of us got problems with being told what to do. Let me talk to you for a minute. You got problems when people tell you that ain't God. You need to deal with that problem. Because you know you're going to hear that once or twice, huh? No, I don't care how close you think you are to the Lord. You're going to hear it. That ain't God. You know, you can miss it. You know that, right?
Yes, sir.
Be prepared for that. If you can never be pruned, if you can never be cut, then you can grow. But you got to be cut sometimes. If you ain't never been cut, sometimes you get cut, you get your leg cut for money, you seem like you're getting smaller, huh? No. God just setting you up to grow longer and to grow taller and to grow stronger. Feels like you're getting dropped. Huh? But it might be God just dropping you in that ground and planting that seed so you can grow into that talk. Just listen. We say this. We talking about take your lick.
Yes, sir.
Stop. Look, I want no punk preachers. No, none. Not out here. Not from this school. No. Excuse me, ladies, but everybody, man up. I mean, y'all get what I'm saying, ladies. Woman up. How y'all know what I'm saying? Come on, just tighten up and say, give me. Like, I used to catch whoopings when I was younger. And when I knew the whooping was coming, the worst whooping you catch is when they call, like, when you get in trouble at school in the morning. And, or you get, I used to keep my, the little pink slip I used to get, the few that I got, amen. I used to keep them, and I would give it to my mama like 7 o'clock in the morning because I knew she wasn't woke. And I'd give it to her and say, hey, I got the pink slip yesterday. But I'm about to get on the bus. And I go get on the bus, but she'll catch me before I got on the bus and say, I'm going to whoop your tail when you get home today. When you get home, your behind belongs to me. Y'all didn't hear that before, huh? Your tail belongs to me. That is the longest day in the history of life. Because you know that as soon as you get home, and she not going to forget. You might walk in and get about 20 minutes, she might be doing something. Oh, but as soon as you get settled, think she forgot. Hey, come here, I ain't forgot, I'm about to whoop your tail, come here. But when the whooping come, you get to the point where you know the whooping coming, I know I'm about to catch it. I know I'm about to get it, right? Give it to me. I never said that. But you just brace yourself for a whooping. After I caught whoopings, I started walking light because I know at any minute it could be a whooping time. Because I don't know what, am I in the wrong place? What's going on? So I'm bracing myself. I was prepared to be whooped. I was just prepared. And when the time just giving my lick, boom, I know I'm going to live after this. Boom, I know life's going to go on. Boom, I know God's going to keep talking to me. Boom, I'm going to take my lick. Boom, I'm going to cry a little bit. That's fine. Cry. Shed your tears. Then dry it up. And get back to work. Amen. You have exams next week. Need to check with your instructors. It's going to be your responsibility to find out if they're going to have a study guide. There will be times on some of the tests. It's your responsibility to look online, find out what's going on, find out if they're going to put a study guide up there. It's just your responsibility. Are you responsible for your own test and study time, all right? Some of the tests, I think one of the tests are open books, so there will be no time on it. But you just got to find that out, all right, and all the information that you need to study your test. Amen? Amen. Amen.